Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Wash your hands.
Thanks, Dermot. Good afternoon on this Wednesday afternoon. How are you? 51551 ray@rte.ie. We've more certainty in our lives. Yeah. Anyway, you have to look at the positives. I worked from home this morning in a real way, in that I hosted a Zoom call for four of the Operation Transformation leaders. And I was able to record it all, and we're going to play it out. So I spoke to Paul and Andrew and Sharon and Susanna. Hazel was unavailable because she had work commitments. She is the nurse. You know that if you're a fan. And you'll also know if you're a fan that tonight is the finale of Operation Transformation 2021. So we'll play out that working from home recording of a Zoom call later on. And loads more on the show as well. Loads more on the show. We had ham last night in our house. Now, it's not something we have every week. And I'd be a believer of, you know, seldom is wonderful when it comes to ham. You know, you need to be looking forward to a ham. But there's a man on TikTok, by coincidence, when I came into the office, and said, you have to listen to this guy, Baron Von Chill. That's probably not his real name, Baron Von Chill. He's been living in Ireland for 15 years and he has observations on ham. Baron Von Chill, come in.
So I've been living in Ireland for 15 years now. And if you were to ask me what would surprise you about the Irish people,
well,
it would be how much they love ham.
Ah.
There's, like, I was surprised the first time I went into a supermarket how much ham was in the deli aisle or the meat aisle, or
right,
whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It's astounding. Yeah. There's ham everywhere.
Yeah.
You go to a petrol station, ham. Supermarket, ham. Pharmacy.
Let me guess, ham.
Ham. Church, ham. They really, really love ham. Yeah. Who knew?
Exaggerating a little bit is Baron Von Chill. I've never seen a ham in a church or a pharmacy for that matter. Anyway, it's a bit of crack from TikTok. Helen Kinnerney has been on to ray@rte.ie. Hello from Orlake, Ontario. My husband and I enjoy listening to Radio 1 daily, especially love the trivia and the current affairs. I was wondering if I could wish my best friend, Mary Hahn from Newcastle, a very happy birthday on Wednesday. That's today, 24th of February. Marie or Mary and I have been friends for many years. We live next door to each other in Ballyfermot. I moved to Canada in 1973, but continued to write, talk and visit over the years. Can't wait until we're COVID-free and do our next Camino walk in Ireland. That's from Helen. Happy birthday, Marie. And we got a long email from Mary Walsh, which I'll read to you. It's worth the read, I think. First and foremost, starts Mary, I'm writing this email to you as I really, really want to congratulate Davy Fitzgerald on his fabulous programme, Davy's Toughest Team, which finished up on Monday night. The final episode was shown on Monday night, thank you, and as I watched the final credits roll, I decided that I was going to try and make contact with Davy, as I was really blown away by the programme. I'm a secondary school teacher in a boys' school, and for the most part, I think I know and understand teenage boys, but God, ! Was this an eye-opener or what? The programme made it very clear that there is more to every human being than what you see. We saw how anger and frustration can often disguise fear and insecurity. Among other things, the programme brought to light the scary extent of hash cocaine and drug abuse amongst teens. But most of all, the programme underlined the importance of support and made it clear to the viewer just how lucky and privileged a lot of us are if we have secure and loving family backgrounds. So this evening, determined to make contact with Davy, I went in search of a contact address. Now, this is where my email goes off on a little bit of a tangent. Once I googled him, I found an article detailing how his son had suffered online bullying. Having watched The Late Late Show a few weeks ago, I know Davy himself and his dad were victims of bullying too. Then tonight on the 6 o'clock news, Team Ireland launched the Don't Scroll By campaign. They want us to delete, ban, report any online abuse, discrimination or hate speech that we witness. Ray, in a world where Trump was president and hate speech and cancel culture reigned, lies and bullying multiplied, Trump is gone now. And it's time to wipe the slate clean and reboot. So, as individuals, as Ray Darcy listeners, as Radio 1 listeners, as a nation, to lessen the amount of hate that is circulating in our towns, in our country and in our world, let's stand up to the bullies. Yes! Let's take a zero tolerance approach to online abuse, discrimination and hate speech. Let's back the Olympic Federation of Ireland and not just scroll by. No more blind eyes. Online abuse and bullying must be called out. The Irish Network Against Racism has a Love Not Hate campaign. There is so much love out there, and I know the good outweighs the bad, but can we do anything to help spread that love? I would love for you to put that question out there to your listeners today. It is time to dampen down hatred and turn up the volume on compassion and understanding. And finally, never did find a contact address for Davy Fitzgerald, so a big shout out to Davy Fitzgerald and his toughest team on a well done job. Mary Walsh. I like what you're saying, Mary. Yes. Yeah, have we gone too far down the rabbit hole of online abuse, discrimination and hate speech? Can we climb out and discover love and compassion again? And the odd thing is that a lot of these social media platforms, they start off as this lovely community where people share nice stories and they give each other virtual hugs. And then over time, they become a venue for vitriol. Where people go on and troll and bully and do all the bad stuff. And even we were talking about a new social media app last week called Clubhouse. And we had Nadine O'Regan on and she was saying she gets an atmosphere of community about it. You know, that it's a lot more sort of sensitive and compassionate than the other online apps like Twitter and all that sort of thing. So what do we do? I don't know what we do. Like, the genie's out of the bottle. We can't shut down social media. And yet the anonymity of social media allows people to be the worst version of themselves and say the worst things that they could possibly imagine. Things that before social media existed might have been said among friends in a pub or might have been thought in a bedsit somewhere or out in a walk, but then just evaporated. Now they're there forever and they're there to share and they're there to get into people's heads. And that's the world we live in. So how do we, as Mary asks, how do we turn up the volume on compassion and understanding and dampen down hatred? I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. I'm watching, just, your email reminded me, Mary, of, we're watching The Newsroom at home. Now, we're late to the party on this one. It was made in 2012. Aaron Sorkin wrote it and developed it, the same guy who brought us The West Wing. And it's about a fictitious news, cable news network called ACM. And the main character is a guy called Will McAvoy. He's played by Jeff Daniels, and it's great. I'm really enjoying it. Anyway, at the moment we see him dating various girls, and he's on a mission to civilize. That's what he says to him. I'm on a mission to civilize. So last night, for example, he met up with a girl, and she was going to take down, were her words, a reality star because she worked for some gossip magazine or something like that, and he couldn't believe that this person's job was to premeditated way take down somebody. And it doesn't matter if they're a, you know, it doesn't matter if they're a reality TV star. You know, they're all human beings. And I think that's part of it, isn't it? And we're all sort of guilty of this. They're well able to cope. So we can say whatever we like about them because they're, you know, they're superstars or reality stars. They've loads of money, well able to cope. And then when people see that, they say, well, if I can do it to them, I can do it to somebody else. And then it permeates down through society and we have the situation where we live in now. And anyway, I'll ask the question again for you, Mary. Is it time to dampen down hatred and turn up the volume on compassion and understanding? Well, nobody's going to say no to that. The answer is yes. I suppose the other question is how? How do we do it? How do we do it? So answers please on postcards to The Ray D'Arcy Show, RTE Donnybrook 44 or ray@rte.ie or 51551. There's a great thing doing the rounds. Dr. Gillian O'Brien was at a Zoom history lesson yesterday, which was given by Brendan Malone. And she spoke to the Liverpool John Moore University History MA class. I think Gillian must be doing that course. Anyway, Brenda was in the stores of the National Museum. And there's a picture doing the rounds of her holding up a pair of slippers. And they are, the slippers, owned by Michael Collins. Michael Collins' Wolf slippers. And it's a great, we should have put up on our blog there. So they're blue, bright blue slippers. And then on each slipper, you know, between the, you know, the instep and the toe, there is a wolf's head sewn into it. That's great. That's great. The other thing that we spotted on social media today is that the Rotunda Foundation, they're looking for your help. So a patient at the Rotunda Hospital is due to have triplets this week and is in critical need of a triplet pram suitable for newborns. So at Rotunda Hospital. And there it is. Triple pram, urgently needed. It's not something that often happens. I wonder if Joe Duffy got an old pram there from all those years ago. He'd be 22 years old. I don't know if he had one. But yeah, so if you have one at Rotunda Hospital, or if you Google Rotunda Hospital or just ring the hospital, everybody knows that they're looking for a triplet pram. So that's that. Oh yeah, tell them about the quiz. I will tell them about the quiz, yes. 24th of February, and we've cobbled together 10 questions on events that happened on this day over the years. You know, news events, scientific breakthroughs, questions on movies, TV, music, births and deaths. And we're looking for two people to answer 5 questions each. And one of them will walk away with a prize. And this week's prize comes from the K Club. Each day, our winner will get a 2-night stay with breakfast on both mornings and dinner on one night in the Palmer, the resort's stylish new all-day dining venue. Today's winner gets to experience the high-tech excitement of golf in K Golf World. It's a sophisticated suite of 8 state-of-the-art golf simulators designed for up to 4 golfers at a time. In K Golf World at the K Club, you can virtually play some of the world's finest golf courses and improve your game and never leave County Kildare. And of course, you don't have to wear wet gear either. So that's a great prize, and if you want to be given a chance, you have to answer our qualifying question, which is this. In which Irish county would you find the town of Letterkenny? In which Irish county would you find the town of Letterkenny? 1850 715 900. 1850 715 900. And we'll have 2 people on after 4 o'clock, have a chat, do the quiz, give away the prize, all that. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Let's see what you're saying. Hats off to Davy Fitz. I found the programme amazing. He's truly a fabulous human being. And I think it showed he got as much from it as he gave. And if you didn't see it, there were 4 one-hour episodes over the last 4 weeks. It'll be up on the RTE player. Davy Fitzgerald is so sincere, upfront, a great role model. My late mother would have called him a man for all seasons. Well done to him for never giving up, says Gabrielle. Totally agree with that lady. Davy's TV programme was a brilliant piece of work. Fair play to him and team and the lads for the programme. Regards, David in Cork. And one of the things that Mary mentioned in her email, which I think is important, we have to constantly remind ourselves that we don't know what's going on in people's lives. And you would have thought that Mary, with her experience teaching teenage boys, would have, you know, cop that over the years, but we lose sight of that. We lose sight of that. And how we deal with emotions such as fear and insecurity and anger, you know, we can put up a facade, a face. And that's what some of the lads were doing in that. I would love if you could wish my wee sister, Catherine Ann Deeney from Kerrykeel, County Donegal, a very happy 40th birthday. Would she like us for giving out her birthday over the airways? Anyway, she received the keys of her new house today. So what a special day. Happy birthday, sis, from Big Brother Tony in New York. So big day. Congratulations on the keys to the house and happy birthday, Catherine and Deeney in Kerrykeel. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. Good afternoon.
Sur mon lit à bouffer, salant en buvant, prends mon whisky. Quant à moi, peu dormi, vie débris, mais j'ai dû dormir dans la gouttière où j'ai eu un flash. Ouh. En 4 couleurs. Allez hop, un matin, une louloute est venue chez moi, poupée de cellophane, cheveux chinois. Un sparadrap, une gueule de bois. A bu ma bière dans un grand verre en caoutchouc. Son igloo, ça plane pour moi, ça plane pour moi, ça plane pour moi, 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 ça plane pour moi, ça plane pour moi. Allez hop, la nana, quel panard, quelle vibration de s'envoyer sur paillasson, limé, ruiné, vidé, comblé. You are the king of the divan. Qu'elle me dit en passant. Ooh, I am the king of the divan. Ça plane pour moi. Ça plane pour moi. Ça plane pour moi. Moi, 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 moi. Ça plane pour moi. Ooh, ça plane pour moi. Allez hop, t'occupe, t'inquiète, touche pas ma planète. It's not today que le ciel
l'évier, le barbelé sans seul, comme un grand connard. Le pied dans le plat, ça plane pour moi, ça plane pour moi, ça plane pour moi, 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 ça plane pour moi.
Plastic Bertrand and Ça Plane Pour Moi, which is on a Kellogg's ad on the telly at the moment. And it's one of those songs when it comes on, it makes you smile. Everybody, 8-year-old, 14-year-old, 48-year-old, 56-year-old, we all smile. It's one of those songs. Imagine back in the day, we thought that was punk. That was really heavy punk, angry punk. It's just pop music. We used to pogo around the CY to that. I'm just looking at the English translation of that. Wham bam, my cat, Splash, is rolling around on my bed. He swallowed his tongue as he drank all my whiskey. As for me, I've hardly slept. I feel empty and reprimanded. There you go. Who would have thought it? Ça plane pour moi. You're bringing me back to my ill-spent youth of the 80s with that music. I'm swaying in the car here, says Kay Foley. And me and my wife Helen are celebrating our 38th wedding anniversary today, now living in Philadelphia since 1988, originally from Dublin. Love listening to Radio 1. That's Sean. Congratulations to yourself and Helen on your 38th wedding anniversary. 51551 ray at rte.ie.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray at rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, 51551 or ray at rte.ie. Now, yesterday we spoke to Neville and Keane, two lads who were raising funds for charity in memory of Neville's mum Lisa, who died suddenly in November. They told us about the Freesbury Challenge. Getting into the freezing water of the 40 foot every day in February and staying in for a minute longer every day that passes. Well, on the back of that, Jemima Mulligan. Well, we found out about Jemima Mulligan. She's on the line and she's down in Dunmore East. How are you doing, Jemima?
Hiya, how are you?
Good to talk to you. So you're doing something similar to Neville and Keane.
Yes, I'm not doing the Freesbury the minute every day, but I'm doing a dip a day. I thought if I did the full Freesbury, I might get hypothermia.
You might freeze. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm doing as much as I can.
Okay. So you're running into the sea every day and you're doing it in memory of your mum, Tash.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your mum.
My mum, so she died nearly 2 years ago now. It was on the 2nd of March in 2019. And, you know, it's been a very hard 2 years, but she was just the most amazing, you know, vibrant, special woman. And like, she just, her best trait was that she would just put everyone before her, you know. She was just the most caring woman in the world, and she was just like so cool. And you know, if I grow up to be anything like her, I'll be a very lucky woman.
Right, a hero of yours then.
And a hero. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And why this particular challenge then?
So I decided to do the month of February because that's when, you know, the Irish Sea is at its coldest temperatures.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone that knows me knows that I hate the cold. I can barely stand the Irish Sea in summer. My mom never would have done this either. She'd be laughing at me now getting in the sea in winter because she wouldn't even do it on holidays. But I just thought, you know, all the poor, you know, cancer patients going through chemotherapy and cold caps and, you know, all that other crap, like a swim a day in the free and cold is absolutely nothing in comparison to what they have to go through.
You're raising funds for ARC, and that's why you mentioned the cancer care, because they provide support for people and families who are going through cancer treatment.
Yeah, so ARC Cancer Support Centres, they provide like free emotional, practical and psychological support to anyone affected by cancer, you know, including their loved ones. And from my experience, support is the most important thing when your life has been affected by cancer. And, you know, especially nowadays during COVID, people aren't allowed to visit and treatments are being delayed. So now more than ever, people need the support of ARC. And,
yeah,
you know, that's what they provide, which is amazing. And it's really why I wanted to raise the money for them. And yeah, their service is free of charge. It's nationwide. And you can get to their services at arccancersupport.ie.
And
they're
course,
amazing.
And of course, like a lot of charities, they've been hit by the pandemic because they can't run any fundraising events because of the lockdown.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, like, this has been their biggest single fundraiser in the last 12 months, which is crazy. So Yeah, my original target, I set it up and I just posted on my Instagram thinking my friends would donate. My original target was $2,000. I then reached $10,000 on the first day. So I upped it to $25,000 and I'm now today on $42,000.
Yay.
It's amazing.
They're virtual high-fiving you in ARC Cancer Support.
Yeah, exactly. They've all been on to me and they're so grateful. And I'm so happy I can help. And I really wanted to do it in memory of my mom, just, you know, to keep her memory alive. That's what I really wanted to do.
I'm just doing the maths here, Jemima. So you're 23 and your mom died 2 years ago. So that was the year of your 21st.
Yeah, that's it. So she made it to my 21st birthday.
Did she? And what was that like?
That was great. Great fun, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And your mom was there. She must have been very sick at the time.
Yeah, she was quite sick at the time, but she was the most brave person. She would just put on and make it seem like she was okay just to make us and her kids and everyone else around her happy, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of been the main motivation, you know, going in for my swims. Every day was the last thing she said to me was, be brave, stay strong. So I just think of that every time I'm getting in the water.
Be brave, stay strong.
Yeah.
And I suppose horrific to lose your mother so young. You did get a chance to say goodbye. That's one thing you have, isn't it, to hold with you?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really happy I got to say goodbye. I wasn't sure how I, you know, felt about the whole thing because it's really hard, you know, being so young. And like, I even had younger siblings. Like, I had a 12-year-old sister, 13-year-old, and then I had my two brothers as well. And it's just like, it really takes a toll on you mentally. And it's just one of the hardest things you'd ever have to go through. But like, I'm really lucky. I have such a supportive family, like my two brothers, my sister, and, you know, most importantly, my dad. He's definitely a hero in my eyes. He's so great. And, you know, he's kind of gotten me through it. And so my extended family and everyone.
Yeah. And you're channeling now, I suppose, your grieving process into this, which is brilliant, for the 28 days of February, jumping into the sea every day, raising money for ARC, which is brilliant. And you're chronicling it all on Instagram.
Yes, so I'm documenting, I'm doing a video each day of me getting into the sea. And, you know, some days have been lovely and sunny and it looks easy, but then other days it's been snowing or hail. And it's just, it's funny, the documenting of the videos, you know.
Okay, and the people have to put in Jemima Mulligan, they'll find those.
Well done.
Go on.
Sorry, it's just Jemima 105. Or if you want to donate to the GoFundMe, you can search up Swim for Tash 2 on GoFundMe and you can see the link for the donation there.
Okay, so you've only, what, today's the 24th, is it? So you've 4 days left.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking
days left.
And next Tuesday is your mum's second anniversary. So how will you mark that as a family?
Well, there's going to be like an online mass. You know, it's really hard now with COVID. You know, we can't really all gather. Like, I'd love to see all my cousins and my aunties and uncles, but we can't really do that anymore. But I have my roommate here with me who's been supporting me every day at my swims. And, you know, we're just going to try do what we can to celebrate her memory.
Okay, right. Jemima, thanks for taking time out. Have you been in today yet or is it ahead of you?
I went this morning. It was lashing rain, but okay. I still did it.
Okay. Your granny be proud of you because I know that your granny was in the sea every day until recently.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. See you, Jemima. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Thanks very much, Ray. Bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Sometimes he says after the Ray D'Arcy Show, but he didn't say today. I must have done something on him. Maybe not. 51551, ray@rte.ie. Martina's been on, said, just observed my dog Honey's reaction to that Plastic Bertrand song, Ça plan pour moi. It's amazing because it's an advert on RTE for Kellogg's, I said that. And when she hears it, she goes mad. She hates it. So she actually recognises it on the radio as well. Very clever dog, very clever dog. Tonight, 9:35, the final of Operation Transformation. And I invited them all to a little Zoom call in my house this morning. It was on Zoom. So we're going to play that out now.
Operation Transformation on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Healthy Ireland. Helping you keep well.
Yeah, tonight, the final Operation Transformation of 2021. And tonight you'll see our five leaders do the 5K and our five leaders walk the red carpet and strut their stuffs, if that's how you say it. We have four of the leaders on the line now. We say hello to Paul Devaney from Tuam, who's in Wicklow. How are you doing, Paul?
Hi, Ray. How are things?
Good to see you. The waistcoat looks lovely tonight. You see, I saw it. You see, I got a sneak preview. Hello, Sharon Gaffney. How are you doing, Sharon?
All good. How are you, Ray?
Good. Sharon's in Drimna and sequined. That's it, a sequined dress you have on tonight.
There's plenty of that. Yeah.
Plenty of that tonight. And we have Andrew Burke, Hannan in Clondalkin. How are you doing,
Hi,
Andrew?
Ray.
Yeah, sequined
good,
for you
thank
as
you.
Well. Yeah. And final, Susanna Cumalafi, and Susanna is in Cavan. How are you doing, Susanna?
I'm doing fabulously well.
And you are wearing traditional African attire tonight. People will see that and you look amazing. Well, you all have done brilliantly. Before we start, congratulations on getting to where, from where you started to where you are now. Paul, we'll start with you. We're just going to ask you four questions. The first one is, what was your Operation Transformation high?
I suppose my Operation Transformation high would really be having accomplished a great sleep pattern. You know, that was the big thing for me, I suppose. That was one of the goals at the start of it, too. Improve my sleeping, and I've achieved that. So I think that's a huge plus for me. That has to be probably the highlight of the whole Operation Transformation for me.
Yeah, and you will provide hope, Paul, for many people around the country watching the programme who are using CPAP machines like you are, who are suffering from sleep apnea. And you showed within a very short space of time how you can improve the situation.
You can dramatically improve it really in 8 weeks by just losing the weight. And I suppose what Sumi said every week was the collar size, and that was the weight coming down from around my neck. That's really what improved it, and the general fitness, you know. So the 30 minutes or 40 minutes of hard workout every night or every second night, you know, and every night walk and every second night made such a difference. You know, it's huge.
Yeah, well done on that, Paul.
You know,
so Sharon, what was your high from the last 8 weeks?
I suppose my high was just is really how I feel at this stage now, and that I didn't do it all on my own. I got there with the kids, and they have just been for me spectacular. And to see the happiness in me and the happiness in them and doing it has just been amazing. And I think I'll always cherish that, because we changed as a family in the house, and there's so much laughter over exercise that you would never even imagine. And that's the difference. It's something that we kind of all went, oh God, you know, beforehand. It's just now fun and laughter, and we're all enjoying it. So that has just been a real high for me, you know.
And it's been a pleasure to watch you, because you described yourself at the start as sad mam, and you visibly blossomed and flourished over the last 8 weeks. And it was great to see yourself and Max and Leo and Paige and your mum and dad, Frank and Colette, they were involved as well. Yeah. Frank's a big motivator, isn't he?
You know, that's him all over. Dad would still try to motivate you even if you were sitting there eating a pack of crisps, you know. He'd be like, well, finish them and get up and get out then, you know. You know, that's who he is, and he just loved this as well. And you know, I think that's the changes have been immense for us as a family, not just me on my own. And I don't think anyone could have told me that this is the way it'd go. I knew I was doing it for me and what I had to change, but I didn't realize how much the kids would change with me and how much different we would all feel by the end of it, you know.
Okay. Andrew, you're the baby of the bunch, and you're also were the lightest. I suppose you'd less to lose but a lot to gain. Does that make sense?
It does indeed,
So what was your high?
I think, you know, it's hard to pick one high because this experience has been absolutely amazing. But for me, I suppose if I think about it really hard, it's this new self-confidence and this self-belief in myself. I never thought within this 8 weeks that I would get to a point where I'm so much more confident than I've ever been, and proud of what I'm doing and sharing my story and believing in myself has been really important. And that's something that I've lacked in for quite a while. So the fact that I can say today that I'm extremely confident and happy and believe in what I'm doing is just an amazing feeling.
Yeah. You've shrunk, but you've grown in stature.
Exactly. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Because your shoulders are back, your chest is out. And you were a bit timid at the start.
I think, you know, I think as we've seen over the episodes every Wednesday, there was that little bit more was happening. And then we might have got to week 4 or 5. And, you know, I came out proud as punch of how the week had gone and, you know, happy with what I was achieving. And I think that says a lot for, you know, what the show can do to someone's confidence. Yeah. And, you know, they said it was all about belief and believing in myself, because I kept thanking everybody around me for getting me to where I am. But actually, I was the one that was physically doing it. So I had to see that belief in myself. Yeah. So it is a great feeling.
And tonight we'll see how you managed to run the fastest Operation Transformation 5K ever. Well done on
that. I know, it's crazy. Yeah.
Susanna Comalafi up in Cavan, how are you?
I'm good. The most important thing that I've enjoyed all through this process is the fact that, you know, one, I discovered that my blood pressure was high, that I wasn't, you know, I didn't even imagine that I would ever have any problem like that. And I was just going around carrying that kind of high blood pressure and having to discover that, you know, that was a high moment for me. Mm. And the fact that I discovered that, that I'm now addressing it and it's gone down and hopefully that it's going to go down totally.
Great. You know,
a yes. lot of people could have just had a stroke if they had so much, because it was extremely high at the point whereby I went in and I wouldn't have checked it if I had not gone for that
operation transformation, yes.
I knew that I was feeling so, that I couldn't breathe very well when I'm climbing my stairs.
Yeah.
That it was getting worse and worse. But I was just being, you know, I wasn't putting attention to that. This is something I need to pay attention to.
Okay.
I was just saying, oh, I think I'm going to lose my weight. I was just saying that. I wasn't really acting on it. So, for me to be able to discover that and act on it, and now I'm becoming the queen of fitness, I should say. You know, going out doing fitness, you know, being interested in walking.
Susanna, well done, because you completed a 5K for a woman who hadn't walked more than 100 metres for a long time. That was some achievement. Well done. Okay, Andrew, we go back to you there for your Operation Transformation low. When were you at your lowest point throughout the 8 weeks?
For me, it was around the time when I kind of spoke to Eddie. We hadn't had a conversation around sharing my story. And I think I got to a point where I questioned why I was even doing this show. Why was I being so vulnerable, putting myself out there? And, you know, what might come back towards me. So is it going to have some retaliation? Because I was being quite open and sharing the story in the best possible way that I could, but I was afraid of what reaction that might give.
Yeah.
And that put me into a really low place, in a sense that I was really doubting, why am I doing this? And only for the love of running did I get out of it, because I was really low. You know, I remember talking to my shooting producer and I was like, I really just don't want to speak on camera. I was at an all time low within the 8 weeks. And thankfully, my love of running got me out and I went for a run and I felt so much better for it. But yeah.
Because you were bullied before, and here you were sort of putting your head above the parapet, so to speak. And there must have been a real fear there, as you say, that people would start, you know, lobbing insults at you.
Exactly. Like, was I putting myself out there to, you know, allow it to happen again by sharing the story and showing how vulnerable I was? And, you know, and that vulnerability was there. And I felt quite weak for a moment until I realized the impact of me sharing my story had on others.
Yeah.
And the messages that I was getting through from people say that, you know, I'm brave for even sharing my story, that they feel they can now talk about it. And it took a while for me to actually realize that that was a positive thing and not actually a negative.
Great. Paul Devaney, you're low. Was it the beans or what was it?
I know. We get over the beans now. We got over that one now. We'll park that one for now. I suppose I had three real low points in mine. The first one was where I was the close contact.
Yes.
The second one was my foot injury.
Mm.
And the last one was where I was the casual contact and I couldn't do the final assessment. You know, they were three equally as big low points, you know, were crushing, really. The foot injury was cruel, really, because I really expected I'd be jogging 5K and I was psyched up for that, you know. But it doesn't matter. I wouldn't call it, they were low, but we got over them, you know. I had a huge walk there. The 5K was a huge walk. We had Eddie jogging behind me, beside me most of the way, you know. So
yeah.
I was walking a bit too fast for his walk, you know.
But you'll bounce back, Paul. You'll be running. You'll be jogging by, you know, by the summer.
June, I'd say. I hope.
Yeah, by the summer. Yeah. Well done on that. So, Sharon, you're the final one for your Operation Transformation low.
I suppose my Operation Transformation low would have been just the very beginning, because although you feel sad when you see it being said back to you on TV and you're sitting there watching it, you're kind of going, oh my God, how sad am I? Like, really? And how do I get myself out of this? you know. So it was difficult to watch, and it popped up a couple of times during the series, and I kept saying, Jesus, you know, I was really, really down. I was really feeling it. And yeah, you say it, but it just being said back to you is really difficult. But then I realized as I was going through it, I don't feel that way anymore. You know, and as every week was passing and the encouragement from the other guys and the experts and all the team, I was just like, I'm feeling better. Well, each week I just knew, and I could feel it, that I was just getting stronger, feeling better, having more fun. But it's even looking back now, and you'll see tonight the look back, and there's that moment there. I was like, oh my God, there I am again. Was I really that sad?
Yeah.
You know, and those things, I don't think you realize. You know you're sad, but you don't realize how sad you are.
Well, you see, you went through a divorce. You've three children. You've a stressful job. And I suppose you were too busy to realize you were sad.
Yeah, you just continue on, you
know? Yeah.
You're not yourself, but, you know, life doesn't stop for you to not be yourself, really. You just have to keep going, and you keep walking, you go home, you do the same things. And you just, you know, you don't give yourself that break, I think, sometimes. No. And that's what this gave me. It was my chance to kind of just turn around and admit, and okay, I admit to an awful lot of people how sad I was. But the change, like, you know, it didn't last for long once I said it out, and once I saw it, and once I started this journey, it didn't last for long. And that's what's amazed me, I suppose. It's still not nice to see that I was in such a low place, but I know I'm not there anymore, and that's what matters, really, you know.
It's nice to see it from a different perspective. And that you say about being yourself, and there was a moment there where you said to the experts that you looked in the mirror and you saw the old or new Sharon looking back at you. And then your parents spotted you as they knew you as a younger woman. And it all sort of, you know, got positive and more positive. And then there was Paige and the twins, and everything was very positive. So well done on that. Now, Susanna, we better get your low from you. So
I think for me, I wouldn't say this. I would say there's no low point or true. But there's a point whereby I felt a bit confused. And that was just when I was gained a bit of weight.
Yes.
I was just a bit totally confused with that at that moment. Especially that even if I'm not losing, why am I gaining? Like, you know, so that was just it. But apart from that, there wasn't any time. I enjoy the experience.
Okay. Well, that's a perfect opportunity for me to ask you then, what did you get from the whole experience?
Wow. first, the fact that now I can, you know, just wake up myself and put on my shoes and dress up and go out to work. That is fantastic.
Okay. You know?
The people that I've met all along the journey, they are fabulous. I tell you, my teammates that we were doing this together, all the leaders, the team itself, the fact that I was able to connect more with my friends, you know, the idea of working and connecting with people that brings a lot of more, you know, joy into your life, and you have an opportunity to do that. So, yeah, and the fact that my son, you know, had an opportunity to see me experience this, my kids were watching it, I'm just thankful to God for that. So, and then everything that I was able to complete it, you know.
Well done.
Go through all the process. Do the 5K!
Yay! Susanna did the 5K. And we see your mum and your sister from Nigeria on tonight's program as well. That's lovely to see.
I've not really, you know, seen my mother for 7 years.
Right.
She's going to be 81 in April. The opportunity to even give her that opportunity for her to even come on and see our daughter on the national TV.
It's big news back in Lagos.
So it is really fabulous to see that happening.
And Paul, how would you describe how far you've come? What have you got from the whole experience?
I suppose I've got a lot. I've changed my mentality towards fitness, you know.
Yeah.
That's the big thing I've got out of it, you know. I'd have often lost a little bit of weight doing the food end of it with operational transmission, but I never really went at the fitness thing. So now I've got into it and I really like power walking, and I think that's a measure of how far I've come. I haven't been as fit as I am now in years, you know. So
isn't that great?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. So I'm really looking forward to getting at the walking.
Yeah,
or getting at the jogging.
And that with the sleeping, you'd be a different man. You look so different. I know I said that to you last week, but you do. It's been a huge transformation in you. Your face, you just look, everything about you looks good. You're radiant.
Yeah, no, I feel great, and it's brilliant to have achieved that. You know, I suppose, look, it's something I'd say, and I couldn't recommend it highly enough when the applications, please God, open for next year.
Yes.
I'd nearly be tempted to apply again, you know.
I don't think that's allowed.
I think everybody should take the opportunity if it appears again.
Yeah.
Please God, it will. I think everybody should take the opportunity to apply for it, because it really is a life-changing experience. You know, people say, oh, sure, you can do that yourself. You can't really. It's very hard to get the motivation to be able to do what we did in 8 weeks.
Yeah.
You can't really get that motivation on your own. No matter how strong you are, you do need the eyes of the nation on you, and you need the help from the experts to get there, you know?
Yeah, and we should say thanks to the four experts here, shouldn't we? Carl
really
and to Sumi, to Aoife and Teddy, thank you very much. And you can say thanks all together there. On the count of three, 1, 2, 3.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, so Sharon...
sorry, and we can give a shout out to Hazel. I know she's not here with us, but... we're just saying, Hazel, well done. She's at work now. So.
Oh, yes, of course. I was going to do that at the end. But Susanna, well done. You've obviously done a bit of broadcasting before yourself. So, Sharon, what have you found out about yourself? How would you describe the whole experience of Operation Transformation?
I suppose what I've learned about myself is I do love myself more than I thought I did, you know? Yeah, it's just been phenomenal. It really has. I had lost motivation. I didn't know where to go next. You know, I didn't know what else to do. How do I pull this back now? And, you know, just having people there just say to you, no, just tweak this, Sharon, or do this, or, you know, follow this, and just checking in on you. And the guys as well, the leaders, you know, with our little WhatsApp group, there may be just funny WhatsApps or just a quick one, or, you know, just to say how you doing and all, but all those different things start you off and they just keep you going. And I think then if you have that motivation, and this is what I realized, is I had the motivation and I kept going, and then you see the kids going with me, and then the family, and then other people, and, you know, what you give out you get back tenfold. And that's what I did, you know, to them. I gave them fun and happy Sharon and happy mom, and they gave it back to me tenfold, and it has just been amazing, you know. And finally, after all this time, I actually do stand in the mirror before I go to work or go out and say, there you are, you know, and instead of walking past real quick, just making sure that I don't have,
well,
you know.
I tell you what, Sharon Gaffney, if there was an award for best dancer, I think... it'd be a close call between yourself and Hazel, but I think you might pip her at the post. Wait till people see you tonight. Now, Andrew Burke-Hannon, you didn't get a chance to do any baton twirling on the final episode, but I think we've got from you already how much this has affected you, and how much a positive experience it's been.
Yeah, I think, you know, I initially came onto the show, you know, and people questioned why I was there. But I suppose being the lightest male leader they've ever had, I think I had a point to prove, not just to the nation, but to myself. I was in the obese category as this started. I'm now in the overweight category, but I'm very close to a normal BMI. And I think I've proven to a lot of people that you can make a change and make a positive change. And for me, it's not just been me, it's been Jay by my side as well. We've made a massive lifestyle change that is going to be with us forever. And I think I've learned so much in terms of food, fitness, my overall health, and then my mental health as well.
Yeah.
And I think I've done like a full 360 almost. So this has been a massive life-changing experience for me, and I'll hold it in my heart forever.
Oh.
And I've shared it with four other fabulous people who are friends for life, and, you know, the experts and Katrin and all the crew behind, you know, making Operation Transformation. It's been absolutely phenomenal, and, you know, we owe them so much. But, you know, at the end of the day, we put the hard work in and we got what we wanted out of it, and I'm just so happy for that.
And a lot of emotion tonight, a few tears from your husband, Jay. And I was just thinking to myself, and I know there's been huge restrictions around how Operation Transformation was made this year, but I think that tonight benefits from having no audience in an odd way, because it's a lot more intimate. It's you and your families, and because of that, I think we as viewers get a lot more emotion. So anyway, people will tune in tonight after the news for the final of Operation Transformation 2021. Now, just before I let you all go, I just want to hear your favourite track to work out to, because you've been doing a lot of exercising over the last 8 weeks. So what's your favourite music to work out to? I'll start with you, Susanna. Favourite music to work out to?
It was Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. Oh, what a brilliant. Yeah, that's brilliant. There you go. We're going to play a bit of that.
Jerusalem, ikayalami, ilondoloze, uhambe nami, zungangishilana. Jerusalem, ikayalami, ilondoloze.
That's great, I love that. Andrew Burkhannon, what about you?
Oh, Catherine has the same love for me. Beyonce all the way in the background when you're working out. It's definitely upbeat music and it keeps you going.
Right. Any particular Beyonce song?
Oh, we'll go for her original one on her own, Bootylicious.
Choice, Andrew. Paul Devaney, what do you work out to?
I suppose it'd have to be anything country, but it was Michael English and Dance All Night or something.
Michael English, that's the one you danced to tonight, isn't it? Well, let's hear a bit that's of Michael English and Dance All Night. There you go.
Keep it country.
Thanks, Paul, for that. And finally, Sharon Gaffney, you, Paige and the boys, what do you work out to?
Oh, we love Jason Derulo.
Any particular one?
Take You Dancing.
Right, Take You Dancing.
Let me take you dancing. Two step to the bedroom. We don't need no dance floor. Let me see your best move. Anything could happen. Ever since I met you.
Right, there it is. Take You Dancing. The choice of Sharon Gaffney. Listen, Paul, Sharon, Andrew, Susanna, well done again. Enjoy tonight, because you can relax a little bit and enjoy seeing yourselves walking down the red carpet and completing your 5Ks. And it's been a pleasure talking to you over the last 8 weeks. Mind yourselves. Talk to you soon. See you. Bye.
Thanks, bye.
Operation Transformation on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Healthy Ireland. Helping you keep well.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Marion Guramagut. Thank you very much. 51551 for your text. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. Mary Walsh sent us an email to that address overnight. We read it out at the top of the show. She was praising Davy Fitzgerald for Davy's toughest team. And she was also asking us to turn down hatred and turn up compassion and understanding. And we were asking the question, well, Mary was asking the question, how can we do that? So we got a number of texts and emails about that. Just heard you read a message about hate speech, etc. online. I agree that some pretty awful stuff circulates on social media. However, When Donald Trump is being blamed for the increase, I become wary of those who make this claim. Trump did not invent social media or instigate hate speech. One would have to go back a lot further than him to find hate between people and how it was spread. Let's stop blaming Trump for all of the ills of the world and let each person look inside their own hearts first to see if they are totally innocent of all of this. That's Nolan Blessington. And greetings from Ulton Mackin in Uachtarard. Ross Naroon has been doing a very interesting storyline about bullying in school. Thanks for pointing that out to us, Ulton. And perhaps if people had to provide photo ID, etc., when setting up a social media account and use their real names and photos, it would cut out half the anonymous trolls, says Brendan. Yeah, and you'd need the cooperation of the big tech companies for that. That might be something that'll happen in the future. People in Ireland will change when the bullies that are everywhere in society are taken to court and punished like any other crime. It's that simple, says Maura. And just heard you watching The Newsroom, watched all three seasons years ago and loved it. Where is it currently being shown? I think it's on Sky. Yeah, we have it on Sky. If you have Sky and you put in The Newsroom, you'll find it. I would be very thankful if you would play a request for our daughter, Melanie Higgins, a.k.a. Mejmi, who celebrates her birthday today. Melanie is in her final year studying music in Cork. And while in lockdown last year, she created some mixes, techno trad, to help keep busy during lockdown while at home in Galway. We miss her creative spirit today. Sending love and birthday wishes your way. Love, Mum and Dad. And that's Anne Higgins. I'd love to hear those. I'm a big fan of that sort of thing. Remember Fourth Dimension, and they got a Sharon Shannon song years ago, and they made a dance mix out of it. It was big around the Fela years, the early 90s. So Anne, pass them on to me. I'll have a listen. And my son, 10 months old, just took his first steps, literally a few minutes ago. I feel like I have to share with the whole country as he is a lockdown baby. Everyone in the family, grannies, etc., have missed everything he's ever done because of COVID and have seen it all through video, etc. It makes me sad that he will have spent almost his whole life in lockdown, but also happy to know life goes on. It doesn't matter if he can't go swimming or baby groups. He just needs time. In time, we will be all together. Isn't that lovely? Congratulations, Conal. First steps. Yay! Yes. And thank you for sharing it with us so we can share with the rest of the world. Thanks, Caroline. And mind yourself. Your recent request for jokes. My wife told me she was leaving me tomorrow morning because of my obsession with Wham. I said, wake me up before you go-go. Frank. I started reading that and I hadn't read it, so there you go. Yeah, on Friday we're going to launch a competition. It's a competition of our times because we wouldn't do this normally, but on Friday we're going to start our search for Ireland's funniest joke. Yay! And of course we have the technology because everybody has smartphones now, so they record themselves delivering a joke, send it in to us, and we'll play some of them out, and then we'll decide at the end who indeed has given us Ireland's funniest joke. We'll give them a prize and that'll be it. And there could be a joke book in it or something at the end. No. There won't be. Yeah. It's time for our quiz of today. February 24th, prize, great prize this week. Well, all the prizes are great. This week comes from the K Club. Each day, the winner gets a two-night stay with breakfast on both mornings and dinner on one night in the Palmer, the resort's stylish all-new dining venue. And there's loads of things to do in there. You can fish, you can go horse riding. Today, our winner will get to play, simulate golf in the K Golf World. A sophisticated suite of 8 state-of-the-art golf simulators. And you can play in the best golf courses in the world and you don't have to put your work gear on. And that's a K-Club there. We say hello to Sharon Walsh. How are you doing, Sharon?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good. You're in Bigwood in Kilkenny.
Kilkenny, yes.
I've never heard. Is that Bigwood a place in Kilkenny City or is it a place outside Kilkenny City?
It's County Kilkenny. It's about 20 minutes from the city.
Right. And is it a village or a townland or what is it?
It's a small little village.
Right. Do you have a church?
We do.
Community centre?
Yes.
GA pitch?
Near enough, but not right. Near me.
Right. A pub?
No.
Right. Okay, so you're a village. Population, probably what? A few hundred?
about that, yeah.
About that. And what's your story? Are you working from home or what?
I'm a paediatric nurse.
Right.
I'm still in work, yeah.
Yeah. And you're just back after maternity leave?
Yes, I had a baby boy last April.
Congratulations. What's his name?
Jordan.
Jordan. And you must identify what Caroline said there about Conal taking his first steps, and she had to share it with the world because nobody was there to witness it.
Yeah, it's not easy, really,
yeah,
in these times.
So when was Jordan born?
April. He's coming up on a year old now.
Right. And not that he knows much about anything, but he knows nothing other than lockdown.
Yeah, that's it. He hasn't even seen his grandparents much. Just being me and his dad, really.
Yeah. Yeah, which is in a way is a positive, isn't it, Sharon? Because there's very intensive bonding there.
Yeah, that's the only good thing, really.
Yeah, well, that'll stand to you in years to come. And you're back as a paediatric nurse. How long are you back?
Not too long, only about 4 weeks.
So that was your first experience of working with COVID?
Yes, only in the last 4 weeks. Yeah.
So how was that?
Difficult. I'm working mostly with the kids, so I'm not seeing much of it.
Right, okay. Right, and is it good to be back?
Oh, it is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, you're up against Nigel Burke, and Nigel is in Caherdavin. How are you doing, Nigel?
Hi, Ray, how are you?
Good to talk to you today.
You too.
You're on your lunch?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a long lunch now at this stage.
It's a long, late lunch. What did you have?
A hot chicken roll, Ray, for a change. With a bit of mayo.
Right, okay. Yeah. So you serve as printers?
That's right, yeah. I work for a company there, MJ Flood. We do all the printers and copiers and stuff all around the country.
So your job has changed quite considerably over the last year?
Yeah, it has. Yeah, a lot of kind of moving from office environments to a lot of printers going in at home and stuff like that, you know. But we're still busy enough because we have a lot of contracts with the HSE and councils and things. So it keeps me occupied.
And are people getting office standard printers put into their homes?
Yeah, small ones, you know. There's little A4 printers and stuff like that, you know. So it's there's been a big uptake on that now.
Right. Okay. So that there wouldn't have been as big a demand for that sort of thing before the lockdown?
No, not so much. No. It would have been all office, a lot of office-based stuff, you know,
okay.
But yeah.
So you live at home with your mum and the dog?
Yeah, three dogs, actually.
Three dogs, right.
Yeah.
So your mum's listening, do you reckon now?
She's out in the kitchen listening now, yeah.
Right, okay. How are you? Hi, Ms. Burke. How are you? I'm waving at her here, which is ridiculous because we're on the radio.
I'm sure she's waving back anyway.
Right. And you have nieces and nephews, and how have they kept in contact with Granny?
All Zoom and stuff like that. One nephew and two nieces, all under six, living out in Clochjordan, and Zoom and things like that. And I have printed out every photograph I've ever taken of them, and the walls are covered in them. We can't be looking at them, we can be with them in some shape or form.
So spirits are good, it sounds like, with everybody.
Yeah, has to be, yeah.
Okay, five questions each. Sharon and Nigel, whoever answers most correctly wins the prize. If it's a draw at the end of five questions, we go to a tiebreak. Wish each other good luck and we'll get going.
All the best, Sharon.
You too.
Right. Okay, Sharon, first question for you is this. On this day in 1981, an earthquake registering 6.7 on the Richter scale hit Athens. Athens is the capital city of which European city?
Greece.
Correct answer. Nigel, on this day in 1876, Henrik Ibsen's Beer Gynt premiered in Oslo. Oslo is the capital city of which European country?
Norway.
Correct answer. Sharon, second question for you is an audio one. Have a listen to this.
That was really scary. And if you don't mind me saying, if that don't work, your breath certainly will get the job done, because you definitely need some Tic Tacs or something, because your breath stinks.
On this day in 2002, at the 55th BAFTAs, that actor you heard was nominated for a Best Actor Award for his role as Donkey in Shrek. Can you name him?
Eddie Murphy's
correct, yeah. Freddie is his lesser known brother, but Eddie is the correct answer. Well done. Nigel,
Yeah.
An audio one for you. Have a listen to this.
In this life, one thing counts in the bank. Large amounts. I'm afraid these don't grow on trees. You got the pick a pocket or two. You got the pick a pocket or two, boy.
You got to pick a pocket too. On this day in 1969, at the 26th Golden Globes, Ron Moody, who you just heard, was nominated for a Best Actor Award for his role as Fagin. In which film?
Oliver.
Correct answer.
Oliver Twist.
Yeah, Oliver is the correct answer. Sharon, your third question. On this day in 1541, Santiago in Chile was founded by Pedro de Valdivia. The flag of Chile has one star on it, but what colour is that star? Is it red or white?
White.
It's the correct answer. There's blue and red also features on that flag. But white was the answer we were looking for. On this day, Nigel, in 1971, Algeria nationalised 51% of French oil concessions. The flag of Algeria has one star on it, but what colour is that star? Red or green?
Green.
It's red. It's red. Okay. Right, so two plays three. We're back to you, Sharon, for question number four. Have a listen to this. On this day in 1993, at the 35th Grammy Awards, that singer won Record of the Year for that song, Tears in Heaven. Can you name him?
Eric Clapton.
Is the correct answer. Well done. I thought it might have been a bit before your time, but well done. That's good. You're on four. Nigel, you have to answer this one correctly to be able to shout. Okay, yep. It's an audio one as well. Have a listen to this. Working. On this day in 1982, at the 24th Grammy Awards, that singer won Best Country Song with that single. Can you name her?
Dolly Parton.
Correct answer. You're still in the game, Nigel. Now, but if Sharon answers her final question correctly, she's today's winner. She gets it wrong and you answer your final question correct, then we're into a tie-break situation. Good luck with this, Sharon.
On
this day in 1998, Elton John was knighted by Queen Elizabeth II at Buckingham Palace in London. In what year was Elton John born? 1942, 1947, or 1951?
I'll just go 47.
That was a guess?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're correct. That's the correct answer. Yeah, he's 73. Okay. He'll be 74 this year, which means you're today's winner. Sorry about that, Nigel.
No worries.
We'll send you a Ray Darcy Show mug.
Excellent. Okay.
And mind yourself and drive safely. Thanks, Nigel.
Okay.
See
thanks,
you.
Ray.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye. Stay safe.
Bye. Bye.
Well done, Sharon.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's great news, isn't it? Yourself and your partner are off to the K Club when all of this is over. Two nights stay, breakfast in both mornings, dinner, and you get to, I don't know how you are on golf, but there's loads of activities down there that you can do. One of them is the K Golf World, and you can go fishing or you can go horse riding or whatever.
Start packing now.
Yes. Right. Well done, Sharon. Mind yourself. Stay safe. Bye. Bye bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Breed's been on to 51551. I got a text from my friend in Australia this morning to say she got my Christmas card. I posted it on the 1st of December. Better late than never. We still have our Christmas lights up. We do, yeah. They bring me joy every morning and every evening. I'm stubborn. Now, maybe this Sunday, it being the 28th of February, the last day of February, I may succumb to pressure and take them down. But for the moment, they're there. Want to say to that person, congratulations on the baby's first steps. I'm over here in San Diego, tearing up while working. Well done. And sending a round of applause from here, says Lorelei. And we have a little granddaughter who was born on the 1st of April 2020. She's taken her first steps in climbing and into everything. Of course, we don't see her, only on video calls. That's Aina. How are you doing, Aina? And Sandra has been on. And she says, oh, she's sharing a joke with us. One of my old favourites. She says, what happened to the cowboy who rode into town in a brown paper hat, brown paper pants, brown paper jacket? Yeah, he got arrested for rustling. Yeah, comic timing, never mind. Anyway, listen, one of the things we've missed most on the show since the beginning of all of this is live music, because we used to have live music at least once a week. We were in Studio 10 and we'd have a band in or a solo singer or whatever. Now, we've tried. Christy Moore sang on his Nokia for us. Liam O'Manley sang for us down the phone. And we had Fiacno Brain on, and then we lost them. But today, fingers crossed, we're going live now to our Galway studios and saying hello to singer-songwriter Ulton Conlon. How are you doing, Ulton?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Great. This is a big day for us, Ulton.
It's a big day for me, too. I was thrilled last night knowing that I'd be playing music to people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
A lot
it's
of people.
It's been a long time.
It has, yeah. You know, you booked the trend before Christmas, because you did do a gig, did you?
Yes, actually back in the summer, because my album came out in April just after lockdown, and I had a gig booked in the Workman's Club for May. And when that didn't happen, the tickets were sold. So when the lockdown eased, the Workman's Club and myself decided to do a 50-seater gig. And I believe it was the first show in Dublin in 5 months.
Right.
So that was kind of surreal, playing the first show in Dublin.
Were people wearing masks, or what was the story?
Yeah, it was 50 people spaced out. Everybody wore masks and we played for about an hour. I played a solo gig because we couldn't bring musicians with us. But it was a really lovely experience. I think, the bar wasn't too high either. I think if I went and beat a pot, they'd be happy with it because they were so starved of entertainment. But it was lovely, Ray. I spoke nearly as much as I sang. It was that kind of a night, you know. It was just a night of connection and kind of people missing going out for a night and hearing live music.
Because of the lack of it, I suppose, we're questioning why it's so important to us. You know, because we took it for granted. It was one of those many things we took for granted before this happened. And now we're going, what is so special? What is so special about a group of people gathering in front of a raised area and a man or a woman with a guitar up there singing a song? What's so special about that? What is it?
It's funny, can't put my finger on it. And I think that's the lovely thing about it. Like, I've put out a single lately and it's doing really well at radio and people are receiving it well. But without going out there to kind of play it and meet people, I have to be honest, it doesn't fill you with the same kind of satisfaction or joy, you know. And I think that just boils down to me that live gigs are absolutely essential, you know, from a musician's point of view. I love recording, I love writing, probably more than anything. But I realise now how much I love gigging as well, because when it's taken away from you, of course, that's when you realise how much you love something.
And it is definitely greater than some of its parts, isn't it? A live music gig.
Yeah, it's everything. I mean, the audience are really important as well as it. I mean, as a performer, if the audience aren't great, you don't have a great gig. It takes two to kind of make that. It's a weird one, hopefully it can come back by summer or the end of the year, because it's gone so long now. It's actually hard to know even where we are with the whole thing, you know.
Yeah. I know it will. We will get to the other side of this. This too will pass.
Yes, and we need to remind ourselves.
The River Flows there, featuring Gabby Marino, is it?
Yes, Gabby Marino. I met Gabby in Los Angeles 2 years ago when I recorded my record over there. She's a Guatemalan singer, amazing artist. And I found this song on my hard drive that I hadn't released in this version. And I contacted Gabby over the lockdown and asked her, would she sing a duet of it with me? And we made this over lockdown, Ray. So it was really nice to perform a duet from LA to Galway.
There she is, Gabby Marino. Anyway, you are in the Galway studio. You do have a guitar. There is a microphone or maybe a lead connected to the guitar. So
let me see if I remember how to do this.
So what are you going to sing for us?
I'm going to sing a track off my current album, which came out last April, called Moments in Time.
Right. When you're ready, Ulton Conlon.
Out of the dark I arrive, though I'm not the travelling kind with a mind on fire. It's hardly trailblazing, it's a path well worn. Just another who weathered the storm and closed their eyes for a moment, smile for a moment, cry. We work all our life.
And that was a moment in time. Live music back on the radio. That is a moment. It is a moment. Yeah, thanks so much for that. And thanks so much for coming into our Galway studio. How has the whole thing been on your creativity, your creative juices?
I think like everybody, like the first lockdown and the second one, you know, it was like the honeymoon period of it. I was writing loads and walking a lot and feeling creative. But to be very honest, after Christmas, like January till now has not been inspiring, because I think like everybody, it's just gone on that bit too long. And it's just the dark days and, you know, but at least now spring is on the horizon and the weather's improving. So creativity wise, I hope that'll come back. But it always does. You always kind of panic when it goes away for a little while.
It will come back and this will pass. Yeah. And the new single there with Gabby Reno is The River Flows. Alton Conlon, thanks so much. And
Ray,
look
thanks
forward
for
to
having
seeing,
me.
Seeing you in studio and playing live for us again. Thanks, Alton.
Likewise.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye
you.
Now. Bye. Joe Moore's been on Australia's Far Away, but I only live in the Netherlands, and I got 6 Christmas cards from Ireland a week and a half ago. And Paul Corson, he says, brother-in-law received their card this morning in Sydney. Some cards only reached Denmark last week. So there you go. That's on Christmas cards. That's it from us. Sarah and Cormac are on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.